May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Hey, Rory, you want to go over there for a minute?
And he does not particularly favor sitting still. So we're not going to make him sit still for the sermon. If any of the rest of you are feeling the same itch and you need to get up and walk around, it's okay. So, thank you. And we won't make you sit still. No, thank you. And I'm going to stand aside so that he doesn't hit me. So you all know that I often hold the baby while I preach, but Rory is not interested in doing that. Rory is wondering why on earth all of these people, his whole family, has come with him to church. Because you all know Rory's been coming to church here at St. Mark's the last couple of months. And his idea of church is he comes, there's lots of people, he gets to go play, and then he wanders around this wonderful space. And we want him to be able to do that. So, Nick, it is perfectly okay. You don't have to try and keep him here in front. But he knows that we got us some Jesus bread and he wants it. And honestly, that's all anybody here needs to be able to find God and to be able to be present with us. You know, if Rory was versed in the Nicene Creed, he could recite along with us that bit where we say we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. He'd probably be wondering what he was doing here today. Because, you know, at just over a year, he's 14 months, right? 15 months. 15 months old. Rory doesn't have a lot of sins to tote up. He's probably got a couple, because sin is wanting our way instead of God's way. I'm willing to bet there are a couple on that record, but it's a pretty short list, not compared, say, to mine, which you can ask my husband and my mother about, you know, why I might need baptism, and they will probably spend all day telling me that. When we think about it solely as for the forgiveness of sin, doesn't make a lot of sense for babies and for small children like Rory. And it didn't make a lot of sense for Jesus either. And we hear that in today's gospel story. Jesus comes all the way from Galilee to where John is baptizing people who have come out to repent of their sins and to start a new life. And he comes to John, the Jordan, to be baptized. And John goes, "What are you doing here? You don't need to be baptized for repentance. You don't have the long list of failures and sins and choice of our way instead of God's way that the rest of us have here. What are you doing here?" And John and Jesus, I'm not sure Jesus knows entirely either, because that's kind of a vague answer, isn't it, that he gives. Everything that God requires. That sounds like the kind of answer the priest gives when a family says, "So why do we baptize infants anyway? Why would Jesus be coming out to be baptized by John of all people? Why baptism?" Well, I think Jesus does give us a clue as to what drew him there. One is that he understood that this was a powerful tradition and ritual, something that the people who had gone before him had found was a beginning point and an important part of their lives. And he felt drawn to participate in that. I don't know whether he understood what it was going to be for him, but he participate. And maybe that's why Rory is here today. Because his mother felt the same draw, even though she couldn't have given an Augustinian theological lecture on original sin, right?
She might be able to, actually.
God, to say something important about how we will live our lives and to keep our feet on that path that leads us to God's love and goodness that helps us grow in grace and in that beauty of holiness the psalmist talks about. Whether we have a degree in theology or have read all of Augustine's works or not, we come because we know this is powerful. This is amazing stuff, and amazing things can happen in this space. It's not that these are the only ways to experience God. We all know that we will encounter God in places outside of the community of faith and the church. We will find God on mountaintops and on the beach and in the vast expanses of the beauty of nature. We will find God in bus stations and soup kitchens, in church basements and coffee hours. God shows up in all kinds of unexpected and unanticipated places. We don't have to be in church to find God because God is already wherever we are. But we're not always where God is. Our hearts and our minds are not always ready to receive and hear and experience God. We are distracted by the realities of our life. We have children to feed, jobs to keep, 1,000 things that have to happen before we can get from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. We are easily distracted, and we might go through days and weeks and months and years without ever realizing that God is at our elbow whispering to us. And that's why we come. Because the wisdom of our elders, the wisdom of those who have come before, like Jesus, is that if we set aside certain times and places and moments, we are so much more likely to hear God's voice. We are so much more likely to realize when God shows up. And that's exactly the experience Jesus has. Jesus comes to be baptized in the Jordan by his cousin John. Maybe he knows why he's there, maybe he doesn't. But as soon as he comes up out of the water, all of a sudden he is aware of God's presence. The Spirit of God descends on him. The voice of God tells him that he is beloved. It's worth noting Matthew's gospel doesn't mention whether anybody else heard this. We don't know whether the whole crowd went, whoa, God showed up, or whether it was just Jesus who in that moment suddenly was completely and utterly aware of what God was calling him to, that God was with him. We show up to church because every now and then, whether everybody else hears God or encounters God or not, we surely do. It's a little unpredictable, but fair warning, if you come to the altar to receive the bread and wine, and you are all welcome, sometimes God shows up. There's another reason Jesus comes out to the desert to be baptized by John. It's because he's about to embark on something very new. He's about to embark on the ministry that will show the world what God's saving love looks like. He's about to start something new. And all four Gospels identify this moment in that of baptism as the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And that's the other reason why we bring our small children to the altar for baptism. because we are hoping they are embarking on a similar kind of life, on a life filled with service and healing and restoration, on a life in which they will commit themselves to fostering justice in the world, to being part of that vision of God's kingdom, that where everything is set right, where God is restoring everything that has been broken, is healing everything that is hurt, and is creating all things anew. Rory's here today because his family would like him to be part of that ministry and that story, part of a world in which it's not just one man out in the wilderness, but in fact, the whole body of Christ everywhere in the world that has embarked in this ministry of healing and renewal and restoration and resurrection. Because we know that that is God's will for the world. And we want to be part of it. And we want Rory to be part of it. And I want you all to note that as we come up here, and we will ask the family to make a few promises about what they're doing, why they're here, about turning away from sin and turning towards Jesus. And then you all are going to have to stand up. And the promises that we make on Rory's behalf, we're all going to make them. Not just Kate or Kate and Rory's godparents, not just the folks who brought Rory here today, but all of us. We are all making this promise about the way we are going to live in fulfillment of that blessed gift of being welcomed into the family of God. If you don't remember that moment for yourself, come and talk, and you want to, come and talk to me after worship, and we'll reaffirm our baptismal vows next time we get a bishop in reach. And I can get one out here, trust me. Because it's a wonderful and powerful thing when you realize and you look up and you hear the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And in baptism, we share with Jesus in that moment. We share with Jesus in that promise. And we share with Jesus in that work.